I mean, you don't even hear them humming. Nothing. If you hear humming, it's probably the bomb that's getting ready to go off. So just want to throw that out there. So, but music has the power to shape you and to make you different. I've known people that were good Christian people, and for some reason they got mixed up with the wrong type of music, and they went off in the wrong direction, and they wound up very worldly and carnal Christians, or else they wound up just getting away from God and just living a complete wicked life because of music. Now, I don't say this to be arrogant about it, and I don't say this to try and lift up myself and be haughty about it, but I know music. Now, I don't know music like the way that Sam knows it. Sam went to school for music. Sam can look at sheet music and tell you what everything means. He can tell you the tempo it's supposed to be in. He can tell you the time it's supposed to be in. He can tell you the chords. He can tell you what note goes with this note. He can tell you how to make this note harmonize with this note. He can sit down at the piano, make it sound good. He can do that kind of stuff because he studied music. And if you've ever worked with Sam, he walks around all day. And I don't even say this to be funny about it, but Sam walks around all day long humming. He's always humming. But he's always humming of one of these. He's always humming a song from this. And that's because music is something special to him. That's why he went to school for it. You can take Mrs. Ski, can sit down and look at some sheet music, and she knows it. I mean, I look at it and I think that's chicken scratch. I mean, it looks like you put a bunch of ink on the bottom of some chicken's foot and let it walk on paper. It looks like Chinese writing to me. And I can kind of scratch my way through it. I can look at it and say, okay, well, that's an A or that's an F, or, you know, I can do that. And I know some of the terms, but I don't know music in that sense, but I know music in the sense of the way that it affects you spiritually. Now, the reason being is kind of a sad reason, because I've been drugged through the mud with music. From the time I was born, I listened to any and all music. Even after I was saved, I listened to all kinds of music. I just like music. But I'm sure that you guys have noticed, you can tell music will change the atmosphere of the whole room. It'll change the atmosphere of the entire room. Now, when we went to school, we had it was a song leading class. Dr. Ruckman made all of us guys take song leading, and he taught us how to lead music. And during that song leading class, he taught us different types of music, and he brought, these younger kids probably didn't know what it is, a boombox. Anybody know what a boombox is? Okay, it had this weird-looking thing that you could take two pencils and stick it in and roll it. That's called a cassette tape, children. And he would take this. He had his mixtape. How many of you know what a mixtape is? All right, thank you. He had a mixtape of all different types of music. I mean, everything from hymnal music to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir music to Van Halen. How many of you know who Van Halen is? Shame on you. And Quiet Riot. How many of you know who Quiet Riot is? Styx. All these wild bands. He had music from all different eras. He had classical music. He had rock music. He had acid music. He had metal music. He had pop music. He had rap music. He had Christian music. He had contemporary Christian music. He had modern Christian music. He had old-time hymns from Christian music. He had all kinds of different stuff. And he did this little test with us. And he said, okay, everybody, this is Dr. Upson. He says, all right, everybody shut up. You know, he's telling us all to shut up. So we're all quiet. And he takes this thing and he starts playing this song. He pushes play. And it's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing Holy, Holy, Holy. And you're sitting there listening to it. And, I mean, you can feel something. And you can feel it kind of moving through the room. The atmosphere changes. And it's a good thing. It's not weird. It's not odd. It's not awkward. And it's definitely not bad. And then he stops it, and with the other deck, he plays something from Van Halen. And he plays Van Halen, and it's this wild, crazy music, you know. But you could tell that the atmosphere in the room changed the second he hit the button. When he played the you know, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing Holy, 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 you could feel a pretty good spirit there. But you didn't know how good that spirit was until you felt the other one. And then you realize, wow, there's something going on there. And that's because there's spirits that are associated with music. I don't mean the words, okay? We're not talking about the words and the lyrics. I'm talking about the music behind the words. If you look in these hymnals, for instance, 264, In the Garden. That's your song, right? Okay. 264, In the Garden. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. Now, the writer of that hymn was C. Austin Miles. But the composer of the music behind the hymn, in this case, it was C. Austin Miles. I just totally threw myself off. I should have had something better planned here. Okay, scratch that one. 265, We Have an Anchor. The writer of it was Priscilla J. Owens. But the composer for the music was William J. Kirkpatrick. Okay, so I want to look at the actual music behind the words. The words are good, but the music is what drives the spirit. Now, people that people that pull for the modern Christian music or the contemporary Christian music, they like to throw the little twist in there and say, "Well, the words are really good, and you know, I really like the words." And if you don't like the music, well, then just tone the music out. You can't tone the music out. There is no way possible. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how sensitive to music you are. You can't tone the music out. You can't just tune it out. Because the music is what brings the spirit. Right? Now, I've used this before. You can walk up to your dog, and you can look at your dog, and you can say, "Hey, buddy, how are you? You're just the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to take you out back, and I'm going to shoot you with a shotgun." And you know what that dog will do? He'll wag his tail, oh, you know. Because he's listening to the tone. He's listening to the tone. He's not listening to the words. He could care less about the words. He's just knowing that, hey, my master likes me. It doesn't matter what he's saying. He just likes me. But if you walk up to him and say, "You're such a good dog. You're such a wonderful dog. Oh, I just love you so much." Well, what's he going to do? He's going to tuck his tail and he's going to cower because he's scared because of the tone that you're using with him. Amen. My mom used to say, "Don't take that tone with me." She didn't care about the words. She cared about the attitude that went with it. It's the tone. It's the tone behind the words. So the music that you and I sing, the words that we sing, is all fine and well. But the contemporary Christian movement, as it comes through, and we'll get into this more maybe on Thursday night, but that movement, and it is a movement, it is a huge movement. You can turn on any Christian station that you can pick up with your radio and you'll hear it. And it's the bebop stuff, you know, stuff you can stand there and jive to, you know. Snap your fingers, you know, just kind of have a little time there, you know. It's called praise and worship. Shut up. It's called praise and worship. It's called praise and worship. Okay, get your laugh out. Okay. When I was growing up in church, we had a huge choir. And for some reason, our choir director decided one day, and I, of course, now looking back, I know why he did this, but he decided one day that he wanted to start what's called a praise team. How many of you have heard of a praise team? Okay, if you go to a large church, they'll have the congregation stand up, and you know, they got the words up on the screen. And you know, you follow the little bouncing ball, and you can sing along with the words. Well, they don't have the choir singing. They have this 7, 8, sometimes up to 16 to 20 people. And there are these trained voices that all get up on the stage. They each have their own individual microphone, and they're swallowing the microphone while they're singing. And they're leading the congregation in a praise chorus. And most of the time, it's the same chorus over and over and over and over and over again until you're like, "Pow, I'm tired of this. This is crazy. This is crazy. What are we doing?" And it makes me think of, I just lost that verse. Vain repetition. Vain repetition. Where they just keep saying the same thing over and over and over. Like this. Hail Mary, Mother full of grace, the Lord is with us. Blessed be the fruit of thy womb. So on and so forth. Hail Mary, Mother full of grace, blessed be the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, over and over and over and over. This guy last night made the comment, one of the guys that Lucas and Sam and I work with. Lucas had to go out and work with this other guy last night. He's been working with me, plowing snow. And so we've been kind of a team, if you will, working on some roads. Well, our boss sent him out with this other guy last night, and one of these crackpots that we work with, Aaron's his name, you know Aaron. He says, yeah, whenever he gets done working with Ralph, he's going to have to say like 15 Hail Marys, isn't he? And you know, that's just, yeah, whatever, you know. But that's called vain repetition. Okay, well, in this church that I grew up in, I was part of that praise team. I was one of the ones that stood up there, and it's always, this makes me want to barf sometimes. You watch these people that are singing, and it's always, you know, there's, you know, they have to be this dramatic, you know, Jesus, oh my gosh, you know, just horrible, you know. They're acting. They're not worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. They're acting. And I mean, does that make anybody else in here awkward whenever you see that? There's something about it that just says, get away from me. I have no grace with people like that at all. This thing's being taped, isn't it? Oh, Lord. I have no grace with that. I cannot stand it because it's just slop. It's somebody, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at how good I can sing. I'm going to show you my voice. It has nothing to do with glorifying God. It has nothing to do with lifting up Jesus Christ. And these people go to these churches, and there's one right down the road here you can go to. There's plenty of them right down the road here that you can go to. And you can go to them, and you can sit through the song service and be just as dead as 4 o'clock, man. And you sit there and just, I get nothing from this. But yet you can get in a little hillbilly church on the back end of nowhere where they pick up one of these hymnals, and some old grandma gets in there, you know, and she... Let's see. She gets in there and she says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, and she starts singing that way. And she sings to her, and I mean, people are, whoa, glory to God, hallelujah. What's the difference? It's the spirit behind the music. It's the reason that the person's singing. It's the attitude of the singer. Okay? So I want to look at music and where music comes from. And in this time, there's a lot of music that's out there that's been deemed as Christian music. And it has nothing to do with Christian. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ at all. It's just stuff that they're allowed to play on. Yeah, I'm okay. It's stuff that I got to be careful what I say here, especially since it's being taped. But you can get on these Christian stations and hear it. And it's no different than country music. How many of you have listened to very much country western music? Oh, my word. What a drag. How many of you have heard the Dixie Chicks? Raise your hand. Like the... Yeah, never mind. Yeah. I'm honestly trying to be nice here tonight. Music is kind of a pet peeve. When you go back in this room back here, when Janet's leading us and singing some of these choir specials, Behold Our God. How many of you remember that one? Now that's got some power behind it. Because the words are right and the music is right. The music doesn't glorify the flesh. The music doesn't glorify anything. It doesn't make you want to get up there like Elvis and start twisting your hips around and dancing and all this kind of stuff. Okay? What was it he said? Dr. Rutman used to always tell us, just as long as the music stays from here up, it's fine. But when it starts getting from here down, you better stop it. You better get away from it. Because that makes you want to start jiving and musing and moving and dancing, you know. And so, you know, you got to watch that. Modern Christian music, never mind. Let's just get into this. Let's just, Let's just get into this. Okay, biblical attitude of it. And what does the Bible say about it? Okay, I can give you my opinion on stuff all night long. It doesn't make a hill of beans what toward anything about the subject, but what does God say about it in His book, okay? Are we Christians? Do we claim to be Bible-believing Christians? Then everything in our life, every subject that we study should be based upon what the Bible says, correct? All right, so we're all on the same terms here, right? Everybody got a King James Bible in your hand? So we all have the same final authority, okay? So we can all go with this. I'm going to throw some of my own opinions in here, and you can take those and shuck them. But let's look at what the Bible says. All right, the word music. If you got something to write with, use it. The word music shows up 20 times in the Bible, in a King James Bible, 20 times. Each time it shows up, the music that is talked about in Scripture is used in relation to the situation that's going on at hand. Whatever's going on in that part of the story or the record of what's going on throughout history, that's what the music is in relation to, okay? Like whenever they want to praise the Lord, they use music. When they want to welcome home the king, when the king comes home from battle, they use music. When they bring the ark in, they use music. But they use certain types of music for different things, okay? But every time that the word music is mentioned in the Bible, it is always used in relation to the situation that's going on, okay? The word song, S-O-N-G, shows up 61 times in a King James Bible. The word sing or singing shows up 169 times. Sing or singing shows up 169 times. The word hymn or hymns, H-Y-M-N, shows up 4 times. And the word melody shows up 4 times also. So, does the Bible talk about music? Sure it does. Does it have a lot to say about music? Sure it does. Sure it does. A lot to say about it. Turn to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. So if you stop there, you can see that that's somebody that is praising God for the fact that his anger is turned away from them. So they're pleased with that. They're happy about that. They're happy about the fact that God's anger is no longer focused upon them. Okay? And the last thing he says is, and thou comfortest me. Verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Now, does that verse say that the Lord Jehovah has become their song? Is that what it says? We're all on the same sheet of music here, right? Okay, if the Lord Jehovah has become his strength and his song, notice he doesn't say that he's singing about the Lord Jehovah. He said, the Lord Jehovah is my song. He is my song. Is the Lord Jehovah pure? You bet your boots he is. So should the music be pure? Yes, it should. It should match, right? So if the Lord Jehovah is pure, then the music that goes along with the song should be pure. All right? Look in verse 5. Here's the song. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. That's praise that's offered up to the Lord Jehovah because of His great works, because of His marvelous works that He's done. We talked this morning about looking back and thinking about some wonderful things that God's done for you, and He's been so good. So what do? In return? You sing. You sing to Him, and you give Him praise and honor and glory and majesty, and you sing to Him. That's what David did when he was watching the sheep. Listen, you have a book, the book of Psalms, that's written of nothing but songs that he's singing, right? He's walking along out there in the hills and the fields, and he's got these sheep, and that's his congregation. That's the people that he's leading in song, you know. You know, they're out there, you know, doing whatever they call that. And he's singing. He's singing, you know. If he hits a sour note, they all, you know. But he's singing. And he's singing because he's happy. But if the Lord Jehovah's pure, then the song should be pure. The music that goes along with that should be pure. Okay? Now just a couple of just kind of statements about music. Music is the common language for all of the earth. I can't understand somebody that's speaking Spanish. I can't understand somebody that's speaking French, Italian, anything, Russian, nothing like that. I can't understand them. But you can pick up a piece by Mozart or by Beethoven and play it, and you can both sit there speaking different languages. You can understand what's going on. You can go watch one of these musicals. Not a musical. What do they call those? What is it? Opera. You can go watch the opera. Listen to the opera. And, you know, they're singing in some Italian language. I don't know what they're saying, but I can tell by what they're doing and the words, not the words, the tone and the music that they're singing, I can tell what they're feeling. I can tell the emotion behind it by watching them and by listening to what they're singing. Not the words to it. I can't understand the words, but with the passion and the feeling that's in their voice, I can tell what's going on. Okay? So you can tell the mood of the person singing just by listening to the music. Okay? Genesis chapter 4, verse number 19. These are Cain's descendants. Cain's descendants wind up getting a hold of music, and they twist it up and make it filthy and wicked. And you'll find that in Exodus chapter 32. We'll get there later on, maybe. Genesis 4:19, "And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ." There's your two basic instruments. It's strings and it's wind. An organ is made up of pipes. Now, and what do you call that? Not a synthesizer. Basically, an organ that you plug in. You know, that's not made. What is it? Keyboards. Yeah, but your two basic instruments that every other instrument is based off of is strings and wind. Okay, you see these kids down here playing these. They're playing strings and they're playing wind, a trumpet and a trombone. Okay. So that's, let's see, Genesis 4:21. All right, Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. He's a type of the Antichrist. How is the Antichrist going to be able to get the whole world together? Anybody know? Music. He's going to get them together through music. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1. "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So he builds an image. Okay, strike one. You build the image. God says, don't make any graven image, okay? So he builds an image. And he says, all right, and he sends out this big letter, and he says, for everybody, all you important people, come look at my image. I'm going to dedicate this thing. I wonder who he was dedicating that thing to. Anybody ever thought about that? Who was he dedicating that thing to? You know, we have this thing that's called, you know, like a baby dedication, you know? How many of you have ever seen a baby dedication, you know, at churches? Okay, well, I mean, you know, when the parents come down, who are they dedicating the baby to? Well, it ain't Chemosh and Dagon. Who is it? They're dedicating that baby to God and saying, this child belongs to you and we want to raise this child for you. Well, Goofy here sets up this image and he says, I want to dedicate it. Well, who's he going to dedicate it to? It sure ain't God. He's going to dedicate it to somebody else. Verse 3, then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So they're all standing right there before it, looking at it. Oh, you know. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, there's an instrument, the flute, harp, sackbut. Anybody know what a sackbut is? I always read that wrong and say sackbut. I have no idea what that is. Sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of what? Music. Ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall at the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. So we're going to play some music. So you see that music is involved in worship. In this case, it's worshiping the wrong thing. In our case, it's worshiping the right thing with this. Amen? All right, everybody with me? So he gets everybody together through music. And he says, if you don't fall down when you hear the music, when you hear all the instruments playing, if you don't bow down to it, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die. That's exactly what happens during the tribulation. Worship or die. Worship or die. I mean, that's the options that they have. Okay? Okay, 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. I love good music, okay? I love listening to music. Now, for me personally, this is my own conviction. This has nothing to do with you all. You have to get alone with God. You have to pray about it and ask God what He wants for you to do. But me personally, I can't listen to anything other than stuff out of this book or good music that when I listen to it, I can tell this is meant for the glory of God. I can't listen to even some of the music that I'm hearing these days, and it's somewhat Christian, but these Christian groups, they start out pretty decent singing, and the music sounds pretty good, and there's not really a bad spirit with it, but it seems like the further they go, they kind of come into this Gaither vocal band stuff, and they get in, who knows who the Gaithers are. Anybody know who the Gaither Vocal Band is? Okay. The Gaither Vocal Band and the Gaither music are the ones that have these huge singings, and they put them in these huge football stadium arenas, and these, I mean, there's thousands upon thousands of people that show up. And it's up there, you know, singing the old, you know, the old time camp meeting hymns, and, you know, they're all up there, you know, snapping together, you know, dancing and swaying back and forth and having a good time, eating the microphones, and they're showing off their talents. They're millionaires. They're millionaires. They have so much money because people have bought so many of their videos and their DVDs and their CDs, and they just keep going. I just this pious, religious, hypocritical attitude. And Bill Gaither's the worst of them. If you like Bill Gaither, I'm not attacking you, but I can't stand the dude. I mean, you know, that's one of the guys. Looks like he fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch. He is ugly. And he walks around with this, oh, I'm so holy, you know. Makes me think of the guy, you know, standing out there that says, you know, I thank God that I'm not as other men are and not even as this publican standing next to me, but God, I love you so much and I want all these people to see that I love you so much and I give tithes and but yeah, you got this little guy standing in there that won't even look up to heaven and he's got his head down and he's saying, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. But you got this, you know, this big wig standing there, look at me. That's Bill Gaither. And if you don't know who he is, don't look him up. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 30. Look, if it's black, call it black. If it's white, call it white. Right? If it's wrong, call it wrong. If it's sin, call it sin. If it's godless, hellish nonsense, then call it what it is. Okay? I'm not trying to be mean and I'm not trying to be hateful, but this is something that is destroying churches and it's destroying families and it's destroying our young people by the scores. By the scores. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 30. Start back in 29. That's where the paragraph mark is. Verse 29, 1 Kings 4, 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much in largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Solomon had 1,005 songs. I wonder what kind of song Solomon wrote. Well, you can find one in the Bible. It's called the Song of Solomon. Now, you ain't going to find nothing impure and filthy and trashy in there. You're going to find something that's pure. As a matter of fact, it's one of the greatest types of the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. And you read through there and you'll find out what He thinks about His bride. And you'll find out what the bride's supposed to think of Him. And you read a wonderful love story. It's a song. Solomon wrote it. Okay? 1,005 songs that he wrote. Yeah, we can hit that. Yeah. All right, 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel 6. I just realized I'm preaching with gum in my mouth. I hope I haven't offended anybody. Janet, if you listen to this, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you're in the choir, you'll understand that. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, not Ohio, the sons of Abinadab drave the new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. What's happening here? The ark of God is finally coming back into their presence and they're bringing it back where it belongs. They took it from the Philistines and they bring it back in and they're praising God for what's happened. I mean, listen, this is a great victory, so we're going to praise God for this. So what do? Well, they've got music going on and they're playing music. And I guarantee you they didn't have a set of sonic drums sitting back there with David banging on the drums and hitting the cymbals with it and having a good time. They didn't have electric guitars. And they didn't have all this junk. They were praising God. If the Lord Jehovah is pure, then His song is pure. That's a pure song. That's pure music that they're using. Okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The Bible has a lot to say about music. So if you're ever wondering what kind of music you should listen to, find out what the Bible says. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. So they bring the ark in, and they put it in, and then David begins to set some people out for certain jobs within the temple, the tabernacle. Verse number 4, 1 Chronicles 16, 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Okay, stop there for a minute. He appointed certain people whose job was nothing more than to record something down and thank the Lord. What a job! I wish I could get paid to do that. Man! They had a job set aside for certain people that was just as for them to sit there and write something down and say, God, thank you. You're wonderful. You're great. You're just the best thing that's ever happened to me. And just do nothing but thank him and praise him. Thank him for what he'd done. Verse number 5. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael, and Shemaramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattihiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael again, with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. So you've got Asaph, who David says, you're in charge of the music. I'd say it was pretty pure music, because they're using it to praise the Lord Jehovah, who is pure, and he has become their song. See? So, they're in charge of the music. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Songs, the word songs doesn't show up in the Bible until Exodus 15. Songs that are sung by man don't show up in the Bible until Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15 is when it first shows up that songs are sung by man. Okay, if you're in Exodus chapter 15, what just happened a couple of chapters back? In Exodus chapter 12. Anybody remember? Passover, what was that? Derek, what'd you say? They left Egypt. The type of the world. They were redeemed by blood. You see that? Remember that? When the death angel came over and they took the blood of the lamb and struck it on the doorpost and the lintels. And when the angel came through, when the blood was there, he passed over. Matter of fact, there's a song about that right here. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Right? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So a song by man, a song sung by man, doesn't show up in Scripture until right after he's been redeemed by blood. Do you know anybody that's been redeemed by blood? Hey, you better bet you do. Me. Amen. I see you waving back there. Yeah, I've been redeemed by blood. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to sing to him. And I don't care who hears me. I don't care. I'm going to walk around and I'm going to sing. If I want to sing loud, I'm going to sing loud. Sometimes I'll be walking around the house or walking somewhere and, you know, one of the kids will look at me and say, Dad, you're talking to yourself. I'll say, no, I'm not talking to myself. I'm just thinking of a song or I'm thinking of something. You know, I go through things in my mind. A lot of times I'll be praying and I'll be, you know, just kind of moving your mouth. People look at you and think you're a nut. I am, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. You see, because when I'm doing that, I'm talking to the Lord or I'm singing or something like that. You walk around whistling. Whistle while you work. Da, 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 da. I whistle. I like to whistle. And I whistle hymns and stuff like this. Why? Because I have something inside of me that is happy. I have a void that was filled that nothing could fill except for the presence of Jesus Christ himself. I have something that makes me happy. I may not always show it, okay? If you're happy and you know it, then your face won't always show it. See? That's a lie, and we're teaching our children that. If you're happy and you know it, your face is not always going to show it. I'm happy. I am. Honestly, I'm happy on the inside of my soul. I'm happy. I have joy with the Lord. Sometimes I walk away. I walk around with a perpetual frown, and it's not because I'm mad. It's just my face, you know. And Joel Osteen walks around with a perpetual smile tattooed to his face. Fine with me. Go ahead. That doesn't mean he's happy. I guarantee you, I got something inside of me that he probably ain't got. That's happiness. It's joy because of who lives inside of me. In Luke chapter 15, music is associated with the prodigal son returning home. In Luke chapter 15, verse 25, the prodigal comes home, and what does the father do? They're singing songs. They got music playing. They're having a party. Party time. The prodigal has returned. Amen? How many of you know the song called The 90 and 9? Bold, now that's a good one. Anybody ever think about that one? Is that one in this book? I don't think it's in here. What a wicked book. The 90 and 9. That song talks about the shepherd that had a sheep that had gone astray. And he leaves the 90 and 9 to go find that one that was lost. And when he gets it, he brings it back. And when he comes back, everybody says, "Rejoice, for the Lord has claimed his own," so on and so forth. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. In Luke 15:25, music is associated with a prodigal returning home. Now let me say this. The wrong kind of music produces the wrong kinds of actions and sin. The wrong music produces the wrong actions. Exodus 32. We'll hit this and we'll probably have to be done. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Moses has went up into the mountain. He goes up to meet with God. And while he's up there, Aaron and all the people are looking up there and they see the cloud comes over, you know, and God meets with Moses within the cloud. And he starts giving him some things. And he winds up giving him the Ten Commandments and so on and so forth. And he writes these things down. And God meets with Moses. As Moses is coming down from the mountain, though, something happens. Verse 1, it says, And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, how long was Moses up there? Come on, you guys know this. 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights. How long did it rain upon there? How long did it rain upon the earth in Noah's day? 40 days and 40 nights. How long was Jesus fasting in the desert, or fasting in the wilderness? My mind ain't working too good today. 40 days and 40 nights. How about that? Verse 1, And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Okay, here's Moses' assistant pastor, and what a wonderful person he is. He, you know, standing behind his pasture and taking care of the flock. And said unto him, Up, make us gods. We want gods. Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, You ought not to say such things. How dare you? And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons. What are your sons doing wearing earrings? Your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. So he's got a great solution to take care of this problem. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Their sin. No music yet, but their sin. They decided to make a god after their own image. Pretty much like Nebuchadnezzar did. So they make their gods, and they make this molten calf, and they begin to worship it. But that's not the worst part. Then you start to read, and you keep going. In verse number 8, the Lord tells Moses, you need to go on down there. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. So he gives Moses kind of a heads up. There's something wrong going on down there because you've been up here and they've made a molten calf and they're worshiping that thing. Okay, so he goes through here. Let's see. Verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. God wrote on those tables. Man, that's pretty neat, isn't it? I wonder what Moses was thinking when he's standing there, you know, and God, you know, writes on those things. There's another time when the finger of God wrote something too. It's in Daniel. And he writes on there, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. And that king went, because it was just the fingers of a man's hand writing on the wall. There's another time that God wrote too. It was when they brought to him that woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And he bent down and wrote something in the sand. Wonder what he wrote. I think I know what he wrote, but wonder what he wrote. Okay? Verse number 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. There's war. We're being attacked. It's crazy down there. Verse 18. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it sounds like a war going on. You ever been to a rock concert? I sure hope not. I have. You know what a rock concert sounds like? Sounds like war. Sounds like people being murdered. Sounds like women being raped and ravaged. Sounds like men being stabbed and cut and shot. You know what happens at rock concerts? Men get stabbed and cut and shot. You know what happens to women at rock concerts? They get raped and ravaged. I've got the facts to prove it. I was going to show that to you tonight, but we don't have time. Maybe Thursday I can give you some of that fact. You know what? That they made their gods, and then they decided, let's sing. Let's sing. And you keep reading verse 19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. Now they're dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount, and he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And if you keep going through there and you read about that, you'll find those people were naked and they were having a party. And it wasn't an innocent party, and it wasn't innocent dancing. And you can go right down the road here to a club, and you can find the same kind of dancing right there. And it's all because somebody's got some music playing. Got some music playing. I bet it wasn't pure music. If it was the right music, then the right actions would have happened. If it was pure music, then there would have been pure actions. Okay? It's because of the music that was played. The wrong kind of music produces the wrong kind of actions and sin. Yeah, we'll stop there. There's a spirit that's associated with music. There's a spirit. And the way that you know I'm telling you the truth is when we open up one of these hymnals and we start to sing. Sam, what is We Have an Anchor? What is it? What is 265. What is my anchor holds? Okay, that's it. 271. When we stand and we sing hymns from this thing, okay? And somebody gets up here and they play the piano. Mrs. Key comes up and plays the piano. She's a wonderful piano player. And she plays that thing. And we begin to sing. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I have an anchor, safe and sure, Hebrews chapter 4, that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail. For my anchor holds, my anchor holds. And you start to sing that thing. If you are anywhere near, I got to be careful saying that. If you can discern any type of a spiritual movement somewhere, you can tell there's a different spirit associated with that song. And when you start to sing that thing, there's something on the inside of you that starts to kind of get a little antsy, starts to kind of bounce around a little bit, kind of jump around, kind of, man, that's good. That's good. Wow. Let's sing some more of that. Okay, well, let's sing the second verse. Mighty tides about me sweep, perils lurk within the deep, angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand, the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock. And when you look at that, that's a capital R, the rock. My anchor grips the rock. So what's your anchor? Your anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock. And then they sing the chorus. And the more you sing that, the more that little something that's on the inside of you begins to move around. And I've watched some of you. You'll start to kind of get a little antsy. You know, you kind of shift in your seat a little bit, and you'll kind of, you know, it's kind of this, you know, kind of an awkward, you know. Now, there's something on the inside of you that's doing its best to get out of you, but it can't do it because you're going, and you're hanging on, and you're gritting your teeth. My anchor holds, you know. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, give me more, give me more, give me more. Keep singing, I like it. Yeah, that's good. And the more you sing, the more that thing gets risen up and begins to go crazy. If you haven't had a chance to come to youth camp, you need to come to youth camp, okay? Wait till Wednesday, Thursday night to come to youth camp. It's an hour and a half to 2 hours away. If you don't have the money for gas, I'll give it to you. You need to come. You come out there and you listen to 70, 80 teenage kids that would run you out of this building with their singing. I mean, it is at the absolute top of their lungs, screaming while they're singing. I mean, they're doing this, you know, they're standing. Standing on the tops of pews with their hands in the air going, screaming, having a blast, just wonderful thing. Sometimes you'll see them slip out and kind of run down the aisle and back. And sometimes you'll see them throw something or just there's something happening there. And they're singing hymns, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" And they're singing all these wonderful hymns. And of course, Joe, the one that leads the singing, he knows the ones to pick, you know, to get them stirred up. So he does that on purpose. But they're good songs. And you get a bunch of people that just want a reason to shout and praise God. And you put them in one building together and you start singing a song like My Anchor Holds, and they're going to lose their minds. They're going to go crazy. Especially teenagers. They'll lose their minds over it and just go nuts, you know. You know, I'm sitting back here watching it, laughing, thinking, man, this is awesome, you know, great. What's the difference in that and a Van Halen concert? It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is running through the aisles at youth camp. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is running through here, and if one of you would let loose, I guarantee you somebody else would follow. Because there's times when, I mean, it's you can feel it down south, we call it, man, it's getting on. And I mean, you can feel it. I mean, you can feel it. We used to know this lady. I'm running out of time here. We used to go to church with this lady in school, Bible school, and her name was Shirley Helms. And she was, I mean, down south Georgia. I mean, way down south Georgia. She talked like this right here, real slow. But she was just as sweet as could be, you know. And she had solid white hair. Down to about right down in here. Curly as all get out. Sweetest woman you've ever met in your life. Her husband was a drunkard, outlaw guy, a K KKK, just wicked guy. He got saved, and the man, they got right. They came down to Bible school, and we could sit there during the special singing, and, you know, this little group of girls would get up there and sing. And you could watch her. Brother Helms would watch her, too. He'd just start nudging you, elbowing you. He'd say, watch her, watch her. The end of her nose would turn beet red. And she'd be sitting there like this. Not a facial expression once. She'd just be sitting there. And when her nose began to turn red, you knew she was getting ready to let out a war whoop. And she'd be sitting there because, you know, these, let's see, what was that song they sang? Let's see, for making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord. And they'd go through there, you know, for giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary, for taking my place, mercy and grace, thank you, Lord. And they'd get to that chorus and they'd say, I just want to thank you, Lord. And man, she'd come unglued. I mean, she'd be sitting there 1 second like this and then she'd start bouncing. And then she'd get up and she'd put her hands in there and she'd go, woo, thank you, Jesus, man. And one would do it and then there'd be another one over here. There'd be some dude stand up. Wow, glory to God, hallelujah. Just excited about God. And about something that he's done for them because it's personal on the inside. What's the difference? It's the spirit that lives inside. And I'm telling you, there is a spirit connected with music. And the way you know that is because of what it does to you. What do you think it does to a lost person? What do you think it does to a person that's lost and who belongs to the devil and he's playing his music? The same thing happens to them. Except for it ain't one of these, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah feelings. It's a, ugh. I know it because I felt it. And some of you people that used to listen to that music too, you felt the same spirit. And it ain't a pleasant spirit. It ain't, oh, you know, it just makes me want to shout and praise Jesus and cry. It makes you want to do something you ain't supposed to be doing. Amen. Anybody know what slam dancing is? How many of you know what slam dancing is? Anybody? You know what it is. Anybody else? Slam dancing. It's, okay, how many even know what a rave is? They know what a rave is? They slam dance at raves. They play wicked, god-awful, horrible music, and they slam into each other. They dance, and they slam themselves into one another and try to knock the other one down. Boy, how's that for a great old camp meeting? You slam into me like that, and I'm going to punch you in the face. I mean, that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, but they're driven by a spirit, and it's a violent spirit. It makes me think of the spirits that went into those swine, and they committed the first case of suicide, and they all ran off and jumped down. That's violent, and it's because of the music. It's because of the spirit connected with the music, okay? Now, maybe Thursday we'll get into a little bit more about that kind of stuff, but pay attention to what you listen to. You walk into the grocery store, you walk into office buildings, that music is everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. So, you gotta be sensitive to that. Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Brother Phillips, why don't you pray and dismiss us, please.